The following message, Remember Your Creator in the Days of Your Youth, was based on Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. This message was delivered on Sunday morning, October 30th, 2022, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Ken Kiambadi of Grace Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Please stand to God's Word in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, we'll be thinking about verse 1 of chapter 12, Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. But we are going to read beginning verse 7 of chapter 11. To verse 8 of chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. All that come is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth our vanity. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days or the evil days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, and here follows a description of some of the ills and difficulties of the days that he says will come in verse 1. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble, and in this section he's describing physical decline of the body and as we age, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders, I believe he's referring to teeth, cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, eyesight failing. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, describing the moment of death. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. We'll read up to there. The book of Ecclesiastes, it's not one we go to very often. It's not one we preach from very often, but the book of Ecclesiastes gives us a good dose of inspired realism. It's an honest look at life under the sun by a man who has had a wide range of experience of various things. He was a king, we're told, and he surveys all of life under the sun and declares it vanity of vanities. Now, the Hebrew word hevel can mean vapor. It means vapor. And it's a word picture And I think sometimes can be, it can give the wrong idea. I think it's helpful to see that this word picture of vapor, vanity, has at least three ideas behind it. First of all, it's just how fleeting everything is. With vapor, it comes and then it's gone. Things are temporary in this world. Second, there's the difficulty, the impossibility of catching and having a hold of that vapor. And so it pictures to us that sense of the impossibility of comprehending, understanding, having a full understanding of all that is in life. There's just so much that we cannot. The third thing is the sense of frustration of life in a fallen world. The futility of Romans chapter 8, in fact, apparently the word for vanity in the Greek translation, that's what Paul uses in Romans 8 when he speaks of the futility of in creation. And so those are some of the ideas then in this word vanity. We're saying a few words about Ecclesiastes so we can have that in our minds as we come to it. And yet, despite all of that, yet with God and under God, it is possible and even necessary in this life to enjoy those good things that God gives. And we are to do so with a foundation of the fear of God and keeping His commandments. That's how the book concludes, that this is the conclusion, this is the sum of all things. He says this is the whole of man. The word duty is supplied, and it is implied there, but it's that keeping, fearing God and keeping His commandments, this is the whole duty of man. And yet, even with God, as finite creatures in a fallen world, there's still things that we will not understand. We still do face the frustration and difficulty of life in this world. And so, even with God, it is true in some sense to say that things are vanity. And what does this show us? That we are to rest not in ourselves, not in our wisdom, but in the wisdom of God and His sovereignty. Because there's just so much that we cannot understand about life and in life. And it also teaches us that our ultimate satisfaction then is in the God who made us, our Creator. We cannot find ultimate satisfaction in anything in creation but in Him. And so our verse then, with those remarks about the overall picture of Ecclesiastes, we're looking at verse 12. We're zooming in on that verse. I'll read it again, and we pray and look at this passage. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's pray again. Our Father, as we come to this book that can be difficult to understand, and some of its statements, we do ask for light from you. We pray that you will give us understanding. We ask especially for the youth in this place, that you will speak to them and that they would remember the Creator in the days of their youth. But Lord, we know there's something here for each one of us. So teach us, help us, instruct us, edify us by your word this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now many live out the days of their youth unsaved, unconverted, rocked to sleep by the pleasures of this world. It's in the lap of pleasure, they rock to sleep until they die and wake up in hell. But God can wake up a young man or young woman while still in the days of their youth, before it gets there. God has arrested many youths in the days of their youth and brought them to know and live for Him. And that's what He did for many of you here who are saved and are older. You were saved in the days of your youth. He did it for me. And that's what He did for the late D. James Kennedy, who was a longtime pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. Listen to him tell a story in his own words, how God woke him up. It says, at the age of 23, I was a spiritual derelict. Worse than that, I was thoroughly satisfied with my secular lifestyle as a ballroom dance instructor in Tampa's Eartha Mary studio. I was a college dropout, but making good money in a job that I immensely enjoyed. I was single, popular, and pretty well unhampered by moral restraints, nor could I recall ever having heard the gospel. Then one day, I had come in from an all-night dance party and thought I had set the appliance to wake me at the proper time with appropriate music for a soothing return to consciousness. But what I heard that Sunday afternoon was the thundering voice of Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, pastor of Philadelphia 10th Presbyterian Church. I jumped out of bed to switch the dial, but was stopped almost in mid-flight by a question I could not brush aside. The evangelist asked, Suppose that you were to die today and stand before God and He were to ask you, what right do you have to enter into my heaven? What would you say? I was completely dumbfounded. I had never thought of such a thing as that, and my nonchalance suddenly evaporated into thin air. I sat on the edge of my bed as though transfixed, groping for an answer to this simple question. I had enough common sense to realize that even though I had no background in the Bible, this was the most important question that had ever entered my mind. That was how D. James Kennedy was made to remember the Creator in the days of his youth. How about you? How about you? If you're a spiritually asleep, or even in biblical language, dead young person, may God wake you up this very morning with the words of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. But the message this morning is not just for those who consider themselves youth, because there's something in it for everyone. First of all, because we learn things about God here that are applicable to all of us, wherever we are in life. But also because you have youth around you that you care about. And so here are some things you can think about as you talk to them, as you pray for them. And then also because if there are things that are better done at 10 rather than 20, at 20 instead of 30, then also they're better done at 40 instead of 50, 50 instead of 60, 70 instead of 80, 85 instead of at 95. And so all of us can, in that relative sense, remember the Lord in different ways now, wherever we are in this stage of life. Let's look at the passage then under three headings. First of all, we'll see remember who, then we'll think about remember when, and then close with some brief thoughts on remember how. Remember who, remember when, remember how. Now, this word remember, it does not mean just a fact that you think about once in a while. It's a call to willful, a putting to mind of God in such a way that it affects the whole of your life. It's living conscious of God. It's a call in many ways, like the end of the chapter in verse 13, to fear God, to live in an awareness of Him. So remember who, remember when, remember how. Remember who, first of all, it says, remember God, your Creator. Remember God, your Creator. Sometimes as Christians, we can emphasize salvation, redemption, and not give due weight, due regard to God's work of creation. So there may be perhaps some parents here or someone saying, oh, remember the Creator? Tell them instead to remember the Savior, the Redeemer. And it's understandable. We're in this world, which is a broken world, a fallen world, so much sin and mess, problem, trouble everywhere. And so our first question usually is, how can we get out of it? And that's the answer. Salvation, redemption gives us. And praise God that there is such a great salvation. However, the Bible does not begin there, right? It begins with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God made human beings, made you in His image, male and female, and made you in His image so that you may be like Him in the moral qualities, that you may be with Him in fellowship, and that you may serve Him in obedience, in worship. And the knowledge then of God as Creator is foundational to understanding the rest of Scripture, and even of salvation. The reason we need salvation is because we're not in a right relationship with our Creator. And so the call in this verse then to the youth and to everyone is to remember that you do not bring yourself into this world, that beyond and above those biological processes by which you came here, there is a God. Remember your Creator. And you will never understand yourself or this world or anything else rightly. You'll never know why you're here, where you're going, what's wrong with the world, until we begin here with remembering God, the Creator. And in this day and age, isn't it very necessary to speak about this when in schools, whether elementary or high school or college, what's the message? What's the message there? It's forget the Creator. You evolved. You came out of here and without any Creator. That's the message out there. And so how necessary then to come into this place and hear the Word of God saying, no, remember your Creator. Everything else in this world you can trace back to a rational cause. And so you cannot rest in that insufficient explanation of the cause of everything. No, it's the Creator, an all-wise, eternal, unmade, ever-existing, unchanging, personal, omnipotent Creator and Sustainer of the universe who made it all, who made you, who sustains you. Remember your Creator. And the rest of Scripture tells us more about this Creator. He's triune. It's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God the Son, who is the Word. He was there at creation before He ever took human nature to Himself in the womb of Mary. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. The blessed Spirit of God was there too, hovering over the face of the waters when it was said, let us make man in our image. Remember your Creator. It is a call to remember the triune God, to know Him, enjoy Him, glorify Him. But these verses also tell us, secondly, to remember God, the Judge. God, your Judge. We see this all the way going back to chapter 11, verse 9. The young man is living in pleasure, being told to enjoy whatever is good and right under God. Remember, though, God will bring you into judgment. Remember God, the Judge. This is an emphasis in this part of the book. The last verse, 14, God will bring every work into judgment. And so, you were created, and therefore, you are owned. And therefore, you are accountable to a holy God. Therefore, remember God the Judge. It's one thing to be asked to appear in the principal's office or when you've done something wrong before your parent and to be asked, why did you do that? What have you done? To be called to account. It's a whole different matter to appear before this God, before whom the angels veil their faces. I mean, it's dreadful enough to be called in the principal's office, but this is God, the Judge, the Almighty. So in all your living and in all your enjoyment, bring to mind, remember God, the Judge, in the days of your youth. But also there's a call here to remember God, your Savior. God, the Savior. Why do I say that? Well, because this Creator is a Savior as well. And He is so, because only He who made us can remake us. And so redemption, salvation, is often put in terms of new creation. To be saved is to be made anew. David prays, create in me a clean heart, O God. The Creator can do that. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So when I read, remember the Creator, it's not a far distance from remembering and looking to the Savior. And so right there is a call. And that's the first step. There is no knowing truly the Creator apart from going through the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. Because your Creator, in the person of His Son, came into this world. Jesus. And He lived. And He was a youth. And He died at the age of 33 for sinners like you and me. And so though we fell in Adam, we can rise in Jesus. As by one man's sin, soon after creation, we fell. And through that one man's sin, condemnation and death spread to all men. So also, through the Son of God who has become the second Adam and the last man in terms of representative heads, He can save, He can make new, He can restore fallen human beings. In Him, in Jesus, the tribes of Adam boast more than all that their father lost. And so remember your Creator and go through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who was raised from the dead according to my gospel. 2 Timothy 2:8. So remember who? We're remembering God, a Creator. Remember God, the Judge. Remember God, the Savior. Remember when? When is it that this verse says we should remember? It says remember especially. It singles out. It says remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Now, every person should remember the Creator, right? Every season of life, whether young or old, whatever situation we're in, it's a season to remember the Creator. However, here it singles out this season of life called youth. Why? Why is it? Well, it's because there are various special hindrances to youth, to young people remembering their Creator, remembering their God. There are hindrances, special hindrances to the youth, remember their God. And secondly, there are good reasons for a young person to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. And we will look at these. First of all, the youthful hindrances to remembering the Creator. What are some things that keep a young person from thinking about and coming to and living with God and for God? I'll give you five of these. And as we go through them, I want you to ask, is this what's keeping me from coming to Christ and being a thoroughgoing Christian? Is this what's keeping me? But also, even for a believer who is a young person, they can think about this. Are these things that will hinder you in your walk with the Lord and walking with Him? So the first thing is the relative ease of these days. The ease of these days. The Hebrew word for youth here is related to the verb to choose. And so some translate it as choice years. Or you can see why the days of youth could be called the choice years. These are days that are contrasted in the last part of the verse with the evil days, or as the New King James has, the difficult days. Even years, the last part of it shows it's not just a few days, it's those years that come. And it says there that it's days when you will look at those days, those that are coming, and you will say about them, I have no pleasure in them. It's days, years that you look at, and compared to the youthful days, they're not filled with pleasant things. The days to come, the evil days, by contrast, are, by this verse, filled with pain and weakness and decline, leading eventually, in verse 6 and 7, to death and burial. And so I'm saying here that one of the things that can hinder remembering the Creator in the days of youth is the relative ease of those days when it's before the difficult days come. Now, I say relative because there can be a lot of difficulties for younger people as well. But just generally speaking, there are unique challenges in the older years that they're not there in the younger years. If you look at that section in chapter 12, you could see a contrast there. If you just look at some of the images there and see what the evil days are on one hand, and then you can see by contrast what the days of youth are, the ease of those days that can make someone not think about God, not remember the Lord. We see there the reality of in the evil days, you have the physical bodily weakness. You see there in verse 3, the keepers of the house tremble. There's weakness there. The younger days are marked instead by physical bodily strength. Verse 3, the grinders are few. In those days, teeth fallen off. As a young person, plenty of teeth. You're good. And so the ease of bad eyesight. Later, it says there that the lookers out in the windows, they grow dim. But as a young person, eyes okay. You're seeing fine. Eyesight, hearing. It says there the sound of grinding is low. I believe that's pointing to hearing and listening. And in those days, you can't hear very well. But as a young person, physically, you're okay. Hearing is going well. You sleep well. It says about those days, the difficult days, the older days, you rise up at the sound of a bird, verse 4. But as a young person, you're sleeping well. Stability when you walk. Speaks there of being afraid of the heights. Speed says there that even the grasshopper is a burden. You don't have the strength, physical strength. Strong passions, it speaks about desire failing. And we'll see that as another reason. Strong passions in youth that can cause us to forget the Creator. So the relative ease then of the younger days can make one to forget the Lord. So is that what's keeping you because the days are easy? Well, we'll see in this text there's a call. Don't rest in that. Remember the Creator, even in the days of ease. The second thing that can hinder the youth is inexperience and folly. Now you say, that's not very polite. But that's the teaching of Scripture, that we're not born with wisdom. Instead, it says in the Proverbs, folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The folly, in a sense, is common to all humanity as we come into this world. And isn't a chief part of our foolishness by sin that we forget God, that we don't think about Him and love Him and honor Him? Romans chapter 1, verse 22 says this, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Verse 28, and since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God or to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. The folly of youth, which is part of human sinfulness, so this is with everyone, but it can show itself in unique ways among the youth. And so this is another reason why the youth fail to remember God. How about this one? Number three, a dislike, a hatred of authority. Authority. One evidence of our sinfulness is that we don't like to be told what to do. We don't like even rightful authority. Romans 8 again says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot. And we hate authority because it says no to our sinful desires. You want to rule yourself. And so, you say, like in the parable in Luke 19, we will not have this man to reign over us, or this God to reign over us. Is this true? Do you believe that human beings by nature we hate authority? Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard a child or a teenager come up to you as a parent and say, Daddy, Mommy, oh, I just love your rules so much. How I love thy law, it is that my meditation day and night. No child talks like that, and no natural man talks like that about God, except the regenerate. It's a miracle when your heart's been changed and you can say to God and His law, how I love thy law. Lord, what would you have me to do? You're the Lord, I'm submitting to you. That's a miracle, a salvation. It's a wonder. So youth, then, the third thing, dislike of authority. And number four, the love of pleasure. The love of pleasure is another hindrance. Look at verse 9 of the previous chapter. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you. In the days of your youth, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Go ahead, do that, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, pleasure in itself is not bad. God created the pleasures of music and food and beautiful sights and the brilliant light of the sun and colors in the fall and sunsets and the sounds of birds and rivers flowing and sweet-smelling flowers and the taste of honey. And the pleasures of sex and marriage, and the pleasures of friendship and laughter. God created these things. Pleasure is God's idea. But sin and Satan messes it up so that we seek wrong pleasures at the wrong time, for the wrong reasons, with the wrong person, in the wrong amounts, and ignore and forget the Creator who gives the good gifts to enjoy. So the allure of pleasure, especially for the young, is so strong that it drowns the voice of God saying, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And so the young person forgets God and lives out their days, perhaps dies in the midst of their young years or grows older old and dies and goes to hell and has a drop of pleasure in this world for an ocean of wrath eternally. Robert Murray McShane, he says this about his teenage years: I kissed the rose, no, felt the thorn. He was enjoying the pleasures of this life. He did not have any regard to the pains until God woke him up too. The fifth thing, it's a lack of foresight that can hinder remembering the Lord. It's not easy to think ahead and to factor in old age and death and judgment. It's not easy to think about those things that are ahead when you're young, right? Those things are so far removed from your present experience. And so this lack of foresight then, and that's why this passage then shows those things that are coming. Older age, death, judgment. During the summers, I find that I forget the winter quite willfully sometimes. You see, thinking about the winter dampens the joys of summer. And so I can sometimes go, like, it's so sunny and nice, could it ever snow? But it does. And so this lack of foresight, could I ever grow older, and could I die? Could I enter into judgment? Doesn't look like it now, but it happens. It happens. It comes. So those are some of the hindrances then. The relative ease, the inexperience and folly, the dislike of authority, love of pleasure, lack of foresight. Hindrances. Do any of those strike a chord with you, young person, and everyone? What is it that keeps you from seeking the Lord, walking with Him? Any of those hindrances? Well, let's consider why we should remember the Creator. Some advantages to remembering the Creator in the days of youth. We have seen the hindrances to remembering Him. And now, why is it? Why this special call to the youth to remember the Creator? Why remember Him in these choice days? Why now and not tomorrow? Why now, not next year? First thing, we've already seen this, so we'll be brief on it, is that God will bring you into judgment for the sins of youth. The judgment of God. Don't be deceived that you can get away with things that God hates done in youthful days. David found reason to say later in his life, remember not the sins of my youth. And don't we all, can we not all look at younger days, even for believers? You see, sooner or later, the sins of youth will have to be dealt with, either in tearful repentance beneath the cross of Christ now, or in hell forever. Secondly, a reason why you should remember the Creator now is because the days of youth will pass by quickly. That is one of the meanings of vanity in Ecclesiastes, something that's there and then it's gone, like a vapor. Verse 10 of the previous chapter, chapter 11, says, "For childhood and youth are vanity." And don't we find it this way, that the years just go by so quickly, so fast? Number three, remember the Creator because those difficult days, they are coming. And they're not the best time, the most suitable time to do the work of conversion, repentance, serving the Lord. They're called evil days and difficult days for a reason. The work of conversion, repentance, serving the Lord is not an easy work for the flesh, and so should not be postponed to the years of greatest difficulty, pain, weakness. To leave the most important thing undone until the time of least strength, both physical and mental, is folly. Instead, remember the Creator, the days of your youth. And remember, it's not just old age that's in view here, but death as well, as we said at the end of the chapter. And so, determine to live remembering the future, thinking about old age and eternity. Do not be a thoughtless person when it comes to thinking about the future. Think on these things. Think on these things. D. James Kennedy, who we began with, remember how he said it there? I sat on my bed, transfixed, thinking about the question, what if I was to die today? He sat. He was transfixed. He thought. Are you thinking? Are you thinking about these things so that you may remember the Creator? R.C. Sproul, known to many of us, the late R.C. Sproul. How was he converted? He was a freshman at Westminster College in Pennsylvania. And there were two upperclassmen in the football team. And they called him over. He was a freshman. He came. And they were studying the Bible. And they handed it to him and said, read that. They were reading in Ecclesiastes. Verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 11, where it says, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. In the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. And R.C. Sproul read that, and the Holy Spirit convicted him. And he thought, he said, seeing those words on the page, I thought instantly, that was I. I was that tree. I was the fallen tree, dead and rotting, just lying there on the ground. And then he goes back to his dorm room and has a time of struggling and prayer. And there he calls out to God for mercy. And God saves his soul. He remembered the Creator in the days of his youth, reading Ecclesiastes. May that be true of some of you, anyone who may be hearing this today. The fourth thing here, another reason to remember the Creator, is that by doing so, you're laying a foundation and provision for the future, for old age, and also beyond that, into eternity. By remembering God now, and loving Him, and serving Him, and fearing Him, and obeying Him, being saved, and being in a relationship with Him, and living out that life, you are laying up store for the evil days, for those difficult days. I say foundation. The character, the habits of godliness that are developed now will serve you well then. Similarly, bad habits, sins will harden you now and will have an effect in the life later on. You can be hardened to sin and to the calls of the gospel. I say provision, because the God whom you come to know now as a friend, whose ways you've learned early on, He will be a comfort and help to you when those evil days come. And I know I'm speaking to older believers here who know the comforts of the Lord, who can rest and find joy and comfort in the God whom they came to know in the days of their youth, wherever, however back that was for them. Provision. I say provision. My wife Elizabeth's grandmother, she died about 2 years ago. She was 94 when she died. And Elizabeth and I knelt by her bedside in her last hours, and we read 1 Corinthians 15. And as we were praying, she breathed her last. She was a godly woman. She went to be with the Lord. And you know, in those days, last years of her life, she had dementia. But she was cheering herself with the truths of God's Word. She would sing hymns that she had memorized when she was younger. And though her mind by dementia was gone, she still, those songs, and she would play piano. There she was, the provision, what she had laid in store by remembering her Creator in the days of her youth, helping her in those later days. So that's another reason. You see, true Christianity and faith can work great wonders even later in life. But as James Alexander, writing to his younger brother, he says to him, "But what I desire for you is that religion may work this change early in life, or rather, that the grace of God may so mold your character now that in these particulars there may be no need of a change so radical. For it is better to lay the foundation right at the beginning than to tear down the whole walls to put right what is found to be wrong." That is, he says, he's writing to his younger brother, who was a teenager at this time, I believe. He says, "It is better for a boy to form right habits from the fear of God in his boyhood than to live in wrong habits 20 years and then try to change them when it is too late. I know some pious people who are mourning every day over the bad habits of their childhood." See, laying a foundation and a provision for the days to come. The fourth reason, young person, the youth, you should remember the Creator in the days of your youth, and everyone, really, right now, it's because, fourthly, it is the way to true pleasure. To true pleasure. We began by saying, or we said that the pursuit of pleasure can be one hindrance for the young to remember the Creator. But you see, God, in His Word, the Christian Gospel, this life of following Jesus, it's not there. It's not meant to kill happiness and joy and pleasure. So young person, don't be deceived by that lie of Satan. No. Solid joys and lasting pleasures none but Zion's children know. Or as Isaac Watts puts it, religion never was designed to make our pleasures less. No, it points us to true pleasures that are fit with what we were made for and what we were made to be and do. So God is to be enjoyed above all things. And yes, also, Ecclesiastes commends the enjoyment of God's good gifts. You can see this, for example, in Ecclesiastes 3:11. "Nothing better for them to do than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." And all of that with the foundation of knowing and fearing God. That is true joy now and then also for the days of eternity. But fifthly and finally here, another reason to remember your Creator is simply because God is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of your best, your choicest years. He deserves it all. All my life. All of it. They should all be given to Him. In Malachi 1 verse 8, the prophet rebukes the people there that they bring to God the sacrifices that are blind and lame and sick. No, it glorifies God to bring the best sacrifice of our youthful years. Not because he needs them. That's the teaching of Ecclesiastes. An all-sufficient, sovereign God doesn't need any of us. But he is worthy, and it is good to know and serve him all of our days. In conclusion then, whatever stage of life you're in, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember him how? First of all, it's coming to Christ, repenting of your forgetfulness of God. Come to Christ for forgiveness of sin and new life. Come to the God who will never forsake, never forget any of his people. And then, young person, there's a call here for you. Determine not to live just for yourself, for sinful pleasure, but for him, because you were made for him. And learn that true pleasure is in God alone. And what if God were to use you to call others to remember the Creator in the days of their youth? That's another encouragement from here. To be one of those that called R.C. Sproul to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. And so determined to learn his word, to grow in wisdom, because youth as well is a time to learn. But it will pass, so that you may live in the fear of God, because that's the whole duty of man. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, that it comes to us in every stage of life. And we do pray that you would apply these words by your Holy Spirit to every heart, wherever we are this morning. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.